You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
In Winnipeg, there is growing concern about the level of violence in the North End. Local media regularly feature reports about gun violence, and street gang activity has become a focus of attention in an effort to, quote, get tough on crime. Against this backdrop, a group of researchers met with six members of a North End street gang to learn from their perspectives about the realities of violence, poverty, and opportunity. The report from the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives was written by Elizabeth Comack, Lawrence Dean, Larry Morissette, and Jim Silver. They called the report, "If you want to change violence in the hood, you have to change the hood." And Jim Silver has joined me by phone from Winnipeg to talk about the report. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Sean.
Now, for people who don't know the North End of Winnipeg, can you describe the violence and related problems that motivated you to engage in this study?
Well, Winnipeg's North End has always been the low-income neighborhood of the city since the beginning of the 20th century, the early 1900s. And then it was primarily Eastern European immigrants who came in to work in the industries around the rail yards, and they were really poor and really discriminated against by the local establishment. And that's part of what led to the 1919 Winnipeg general strike and to the radical politics that have always characterized Winnipeg. But today the North End is where Aboriginal people predominantly live. Large numbers of Aboriginal people have begun to move into Winnipeg since the 1960s, and Winnipeg now has the largest urban Aboriginal population in the country, many of them in the North End, many of them very low income, living in poverty, subjected to various forms of systemic racism, and that's the environment in which the street gang activity has grown.
Now, can you tell us about the process that the four authors, you and your three colleagues, and the six participants engaged in to do this research project?
Well, there has been a lot of violence in the North End in recent years, particularly gun violence and deaths. And we were at a funeral of a young Aboriginal man who had been shot in a drive-by shooting, and some members of a street gang approached us wanting to talk about, life in the North End and the things that are going on and the violence and what might be done about it. And so we had been planning on doing a research project on this issue in any event, and we seized upon this opportunity and arranged to meet with them outside of Winnipeg. They insisted upon meeting outside of Winnipeg because the police are really putting a lot of pressure on them these days. So we met over 2 days in a hotel outside of Winnipeg and had 8 hours of conversation with six Aboriginal members of the street gang, three of them guys in their late 30s and three younger guys in their early 20s, and wrote the paper based primarily on those 2 days of conversations.
And how did the men feel about the tough-on-crime approach to addressing violence in the North End?
Well, they had some really interesting things to say about that, and I think, really were quite thoughtful and insightful. First of all, they said, you can put us in prison, and probably when, we do really bad shit, as they would put it, we ought to go to prison, but you're crazy if you think that's going to solve the problem. Putting us in prison, when we go to prison, we don't like it particularly, but, our friends are there, we know everybody who's there, we can carry on our business from prison. We learn more things about how to be better criminals in prison. So their argument is, keep on putting us in prison if you like, but that's not going to solve the problem. We talked also about what has happened this summer in particular. The police have really gone in large numbers into the North End and have harassed people who fit the description, which basically means young male and Aboriginal. One of the six guys that we spoke with told us the other day that he had been stopped 50 times by the cops in the course of a 2-week period. So the police are really putting a lot of pressure in the North End. But again, the guys say, you know, that really isn't going to stop us from carrying on what it is that we're doing. And worse than that, it just really makes the majority of Aboriginal people who are committing no crimes whatever angry at the police. And you already have a situation in the inner city in Winnipeg in which Aboriginal people and the police do not get along well, especially young Aboriginal men. They believe that the police mistreat them. They claim that the police mistreat them, and there's a huge amount of evidence to support that. And so, you know, this sort of siege mentality in the North End is just worsening that that problem. So the various kinds of get-tough-on-crime strategies, these guys, I think, were quite effective in explaining to us, are not going to solve the problem.
There's something in the report that you call quick-fix solutions. Can you tell us a little about that?
Well, these are the kinds of quick-fix solutions. I mean, every time somebody dies in the North End, the newspapers are filled with insistence that people be thrown in jail, get these punks in jail and throw away the key and get tough on them and what's wrong with these people and so on and so forth. And the main thrust of the argument made by the six guys over the 2 days that we spent with them is that there are no short-term solutions to the problem. This is a problem that has grown over a long period of time that has to do with a whole bunch of complex social phenomena, and it can't be fixed right away. One of the guys said, you can't just take an aspirin for the North End and expect it to be fixed in half an hour. We thought that was, you know, quite an insightful comment. And, you know, the title of the paper that we wrote is, if you want to end violence in the hood, you have to change the hood. You have to. We took that to mean you've got to get to the root of the problem, and the root of the problem is poverty and systemic racism.
Was there a central theme that ran through the commentary then of the men that you talked with?
Yeah, I think they kept coming back to this notion that there is no short-term solution, that you've got to get at the problems of poverty and racism. It was interesting to us that they expressed what we took to be a genuine concern for young people. They told some very poignant stories about their own youth and the really difficult circumstances that they had grown up in. They told some equally poignant stories about kids that they encounter in the North End today. You know, and what happens is that one of the interesting things is that these guys aren't getting rich. I mean, there's millions of dollars moving in Winnipeg's North End in illegal drug sales. So somebody is making a lot of money, but these guys aren't. They have money in their pocket. They have a roll of cash, and they engage in a fair amount of conspicuous consumption, but none of them has any assets to speak of. None of them, for example, even owns a house. So they're not getting rich, but they told stories about little kids in the North End, you know, out at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning, unsupervised, and they told a story about one of them had been in a store, and there were two little Aboriginal kids, you know, dirty and poorly dressed and trying to scrape together enough change to buy a sandwich, and so he just pulled out a wad of cash and gave the kids a $20 bill. And we said, well, why would you do that? And he said, well, because that was me. I was that dirty little Indian kid when I was growing up, and I didn't have anything, and I had to steal. So, but then the kids look at this guy and think, oh, man, he's a gangster. Look at all the money he's got, and that just then reproduces the cycle. You know, kids who are poor, who don't have anything, and who see the street gang members as being guys who have succeeded, when in fact the street gang members, these guys, the Aboriginal street gang members, really aren't rich at all. And the older guys who are in their 30s, they're saying, man, you know, we've done a lot of time, like a couple of them have spent 15 or 20 years in total in prison, and, you know, they can do it, but that's a lot of wasted time, they think, by the time they get to be 30. But by then, they're pretty hardened. It's hard for them to find a regular job. They're trapped by that time in their own circumstances. So they argue that the real root of the problem is the circumstances in which they grew up and in which kids in the North End continue to grow up, circumstances of poverty and systemic racism, and they say that's what we have to deal with.
So the gang members didn't want the children living in the North End to follow in their footsteps.
That's right, but he said, you know, they are going to follow in our footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, look, we always get accused of going out and recruiting young kids. And he said, it's not that we're going out and recruiting them, it's that they want to be part of us, they want to be part of the gang. Now, I think it's more complicated than that, but certainly it is the case that many of the kids look up to these gang members because they've got money in their pockets when their parents at home don't even have food in the fridge.
Okay, so we've talked a little about the you've talked a little about the complex social phenomena, the poverty and the racism. What kind of strategies does the report recommend for addressing these problems long term?
Well, one thing that became very clear to us is that some of these guys, when they reach a certain age, want to work. They want to get out of the business that they're in and find a legitimate job and kind of stabilize their lives, because being a street gang member is a high-risk lifestyle. The cops are always on your case. There's violence in the work that you do and so on. So some of them, anyway, would work, would take a legitimate job, but there is absolutely no way that these guys could just walk into a regular job. I mean, they're very rough guys. They look rough. They're covered in tattoos. Their language, you know, their language is very, very rough. So, you know, regular jobs are out for them. Nobody's going to hire them, in fact. But there are some programs that have been created. One of them, the acronym for one of them is OPK. It's an Ojibwe, three Ojibwe words that I have difficulty remembering. But OPK is a program that's run for 8 years now, putting street gang members to work renovating housing in the North End. And 57 guys have gone through that program so far, and not a single one of them has committed a serious crime while he's been in OPK. And at the moment, there are 30 street gang members on the wait list wanting to get into that program. So part of what we are saying is, you know, why would you spend $80,000 a year to put somebody in a federal prison when you could spend far more than that and put them to work when they want to work? So part of it is to create the kinds of jobs that these guys could fit into, rather than trying to force them to fit into the kinds of jobs that exist. So we can create these kinds of jobs. It just takes a little bit of creativity, and if we do that, more and more of them will move over into the legitimate workforce and stabilize themselves, get out of a life of crime, stabilize their home life, their family life, which then becomes very, very positive for their kids and other kids in the neighborhood. And these guys, I mean, two of the guys were working with OPK, and they feel really good about themselves. I mean, they like the work they do. They're proud of giving something back to the neighborhood. So we say work is a part of the solution. It just needs to be a little bit creative.
And what are you hoping to achieve with this report? How do you think it might help the problem?
Well, we met with the Minister of Justice, Dave Chomiak, for an hour and a half the day we released the report, and we asked him for three things. We said we have three objectives here. One, let's put enough money into OPK to get these 30 guys on the wait list into the paid labor force, to get them working. Two, you as the Minister of Justice have the power to begin to change the discourse about this issue. And the discourse, the way in which the media deal with this issue, is a part of the problem. They deal with it always as a crime issue, these guys are bad guys and ought to be locked up. And we said to him, you know, that isn't helping the situation at all. That's making the situation worse. Let's reframe this issue as a poverty and racism issue. This is an issue about poverty and racism. And we asked him, every time you talk about street gang issues, say this is a product of poverty and systemic racism, and begin to shift the focus so that we'll then build some public support for investing in solving the problems of poverty and systemic racism. And then the third thing we asked, we said to him is, this is a long-term problem. There are no short-term solutions, and you need a plan. You need a strategy. There has to be a strategy to begin to systematically deal with this problem over time. Forget the attempts at quick-fix solutions. That's just pandering to, you know, to the right-wing element of the public. Let's have a strategy that is a long-term strategy that involves public investment, involves putting these guys to work, and that will, in the course of time, begin to solve the problem.
And what kind of reaction has the report gotten?
Well, it's got a very positive reaction. We wrote a short op-ed piece based on the report for the Winnipeg Free Press, and the Winnipeg Free Press, up to that time, had been very actively involved in the, you know, the get tough on crime rhetoric. But they gave us the op-ed piece, and then 3 days later, the Free Press itself wrote a lead editorial endorsing the report and saying we should be putting street gang members into the workforce where that is possible. So, you know, who knows how long that will last, but there has been some positive response to the report so far.
Thanks very much for talking with us today, Jim.
Okay, Sean, thank you.
I've been speaking with Jim Silver. He is one of four authors of a report on violence and street gangs in Winnipeg's inner city. The report can be found and downloaded on the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives website at policyalternatives.ca, or you can find a direct link at our website, cooperadio.org/redeye.